Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Imp's Prison. I'm the host of this show. My name is Angelo, as I'm sure most of you know. Anyway, today's episode runs a lot longer than I usually let these things go. Typically, I keep them very, very tidy at 1 hour. However, my guest Chewy and I got into a pretty important discussion as far as I was concerned, and I felt that it needed to go on until the discussion came to a natural end. We do talk about some, you know, normal ramblings that you would expect from me and Chewy. However, we did get into the world of depression, because with me and Chewy both in the past couple years suffering from it, we felt like we was in a position now that both of us are beginning to pull out of it to talk to everybody about it and show people how this happens, how you act when it's going on. And the fact is, a lot of times you're the last person to know that you are suffering from it. I hope you enjoy this episode. If not, I hope you at least learn something. I mean, we do talk about other stuff besides that, don't get me wrong, but the last most of the show is about depression. Without further ado, here it is. Joining me this week is that ginger from the Carolinas, who one of these days I really got to get down there just to hang out with you guys. But it is the Chewy. Chewy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
You should come to GP Charlotte. Sounds like we're all going to be here.
Yeah, the only problem with GP Charlotte is modern.
Well, don't play then.
But I already am already going to GP Pittsburgh, which is modern, and I'm not playing in that either.
Even better. I'm not playing either. So, like, modern.
There's a problem there. Like, I'm not playing in these modern tournaments. And it's like, how do I justify? I'm going to Carolina for a while to just not play and not have any chance at making any money. Just spend.
Dude, all of us are going to be here, though. It's going to be awesome.
Right. When is that?
Hell, I don't know. It's like June, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, it's at least in the wheelhouse where it's quasi possible, but I think I might be going to, Detroit. You know what? I think Detroit's like right after that. So that puts me at GP Detroit, which I'm definitely going to because like team sealed. Awesome. So, hey, but you know, before we get into any of these stories that we're going to tell and you know,
it's June 12th through the 14th.
That's not far from my birthday. I should get people to pay for it for me.
And wait, what's the other one you were talking about?
GP Detroit.
Detroit isn't until August.
Oh, well, that's close enough when you're as broke as me.
Oh, yeah, I feel that.
You should understand that, too.
It hurt my soul to have to say on my various podcasts, I am not going to Vegas. Sorry.
Yeah.
That hurt a lot.
Yeah, I said that, like, immediately because it was just like, I don't even want to string people along. Like, I'm not fucking going. I know I can't afford it. But remember, you're still welcome at GP Pittsburgh.
Oh.
We're all going to be here.
Can I sleep with you?
I can give you a couch.
You going to be on it with me?
It depends on how bad I piss off the wife.
Nice.
I mean, there is a possibility this might happen. Be all, just a big puddle of warm. Two heavy guys cuddling on a little couch.
I'll just sidle up to the wife and be like, so let me tell you what I heard him saying. Yes, couch buddy.
But, you know, she's planning on cooking meals and stuff, so you should probably figure out a way to get up here. But
I can do.
Before we actually get started into this show, yet again, we should really start this at some point. For those who don't know, we've been talking for 35 minutes, and this is the beginning of the show. But give everybody real quick at the top, and I'll give you another shot at the back end to let everybody know where they can find you.
When is
if Pittsburgh? They so choose.
Well, Pittsburgh isn't until my birthday. Hey, look at that.
There you go. It's like the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking that up again. So what am I doing? You're giving me a shot in the back end? What?
Oh, yeah. Couch buddy. Contact info, you know, in case somebody wanted to get a hold of you. I let the host do it twice because if you do it in one spot every time, people will fast forward through it.
Oh, gotcha. So you can find me on Twitter at the Manapool. You can find basically everything.
That's it. Yeah. just on Twitter. That's the only place he's found.
Pretty much. You can find pretty much everything I do on themanapool.com, which is where the Manapool podcast and all my YouTube videos and all of that stuff goes up. And you can also, that was my finger. You can hear me on Monday Night Magic, which is on mtgcast.com.
Right. And what, the Manapool at Patreon?
Yeah, and the Patreon account is patreon.com/themanapool, where you can get all of the Manapool episodes, usually 48-ish hours early, and all videos I do 24 hours early, with $5 donation a month, whatever.
There you go. Help him out. This is how this man makes his living.
Well, if by that you mean this is how this man watches his bank account slowly drain and then panic, yes.
Well, you know.
You are correct, sir.
Right, but you're living the dream, Chu.
I'm working on living the dream. The dream would be every beginning of the month not going, oh, God, rent, now what? But I'm working on it slowly, but
hey,
slowly.
We all can't be Marshall.
Yeah, ain't that the damn truth.
That dude's well over $1,000 an episode. That's insane.
You put us all together and we can't be Marshall. Like, what right? The hell?
Right? I got to figure out how he's pulled that off.
Well, because he's managed to make himself the brain for limited players the world over who are unable to evaluate cards by themselves, so they have to wait for someone else to tell them what's good.
That's all I needed to do. God damn it.
Yeah, see? You missed out.
I missed that window. Son of a bitch. Oh, well.
And then he's, you know, worked his way into Wizards through various other means with the coverage and all of that.
Yeah, we'll say that helps a lot. Yeah. That helps a lot. But, you know, we gotta ramble about some sort of subject. You've been watching Daredevil, right?
Yes. I still have two episodes. I've had two episodes left for like 4 days now. I'm still trying to figure out why I haven't just watched those last two. So, you know, I could touch myself with glee, but I just haven't.
Yeah, well, I'm stuck at one at the moment, so don't feel bad. It's like one episode. Come on, just gotta finish it. Just gotta finish it. And then it's like, ah, fuck, I gotta do this. Ah, fuck, goddamn it, work. Why must you schedule me today? I could have watched this. And, you know, things and stuff. So, yeah.
But terrible, terrible.
So good. Like, I'm really looking forward to the Iron Fist one that's coming.
Yeah, I think that one, I don't think they put a date on it, but it sounds like it's going to be the end of next year.
Which is balls. But in between now and then, I'm going to get a second season of Daredevil.
Apparently, which trips me out.
Why?
Well, like, because they originally had this plan, you know, we're going to do Daredevil, then Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage, then Iron Fist, then we're going to put them all together in the Defenders, and it'll be awesome. And then, just like yesterday, they went, by the way, we're going to do a second season of Daredevil next year. And I'm like, well, where does that fit?
It fits before Iron Fist, because it's coming out in 2016. And if Iron Fist is late 2016, then, hey, we can just slide this in there, no problem.
Baby.
Oh, yeah, slide it right in.
Couch buddy.
Couch buddy. Oh, man, if I actually named these episodes, I think I'd have found it. It's just going to be Chewy. That's what the episode's going to be called, but couch.
I'm just Chewy.
Just Chewy. Speaking of just Chewy, what'd you think of the new Star Wars trailer?
It hit all the right notes to make nerds mess themselves.
Okay, what did
myself included.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. I was like, well, this is nice. Okay, nice. Oh, look at that. Those are real guys. That's not CG. Cool. Oh, whoa, wait. What? And then it was over.
It's like, that droid rolls.
Holy crap, that was me. And all that, so I told this story on one of my other shows, I apologize, but all that day, right, I was working on getting the last TMP News video up. And TMP News videos are such a bitch. Like, I put probably 20 hours into making that video.
That 2 minute clip?
It was like an 8 minute clip.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But, like, I worked on it all night, went to bed, got up the next morning, worked on it all day, took a break for lunch, clocked back in, and I use this program on my iPad to keep track of when I'm actually working. Which this doesn't count apparently, cause I didn't clock in, so oh well. But I clocked back in at like 1:15 in the afternoon. I finally got the video produced, posted up, on YouTube, sent out to the patrons, the Patreon patrons, 5 minutes or so before we were due to start recording that episode of the Manapool. And so I clocked out that night at like 2:45 in the AM.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, so I was clocked in for like 13 hours straight or something like that, and 3 hours before that. So it was a 16-hour day. And all that day, I was getting, like, people were joking at me, like, on Twitter, be like, oh, I saw you in a movie trailer. I'm like, okay. And they're like, what's this I hear about you being home? And I'm like, well, I am home. What?
And I even have jammies on.
And finally, one of the listeners tweeted a link at me, and I looked at the thumbnail, and it was like, oh, it's a new Star Wars trailer. Oh, it must have Chewie in it. Cool. I'll watch this later, because I was knee deep or neck deep in this TMP News video. studio, and we all got, you know, I got everything all set up to start recording, and the guys were like, did everyone see the new Star Wars trailer? And I was like, yep. I was like, I didn't. They're like, go watch it right now. We'll wait. I was like, I'd really rather just go watch it. Oh.
Did you punch out first?
And no, because we were on the call. I just sort of, I was like, everybody shut up. I got it. Shut up. And they all shut up. And I watched it. And we all just sort of went. But I mean, I don't know anything about the movie, obviously. And I'm going to try to be as clean slate as possible when I go see it.
Yeah.
But they know exactly how to make nerds get hyped.
Okay. Now, on the flip side, have you seen the Batman Superman trailer?
Yes.
Okay. What'd you think of that?
That. They don't know as well how to get nerds hyped.
You know what? You every nerd on the internet makes me feel like I don't know how to fit in with nerds, because that one had me so much more pumped than the Star Wars one.
See, I think had they done the trailer right, I probably would have been like that scene of the Batfleck in the full bat suit, just sort of doing his Batman thing. I was like, damn! And then the shot of him looking up in full armor, I was like, damn! But the rest of that trailer, I was like, whatever.
Dude, do you bleed? You will? I was like, yeah. Oh, that line. Like I said, just drop the mic and walk out. Holy
that
shit.
That was the best part. But all the rest of that trailer was just crap I don't care about. I was like, oh, look, Superman looks like Jesus. Okay. Oh, look, there's a statue of Superman. Okay. Oh, look, Superman. Can we? No one cares about Superman. No one. We've already seen this guy be Superman in a movie that was pretty all right. We don't care. We want to see the Batfleck. Show us the Batfleck. And that might be why they did it that way. They're holding off the Batfleck.
But I got to see Ben Affleck in the suit.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Exactly. I was like, look at that!
I was like, this is amazing. And I don't know if you read the comic, or if you watched the original animated version of Batman versus Superman, but very good. And I'm like, all he has to do is just like follow along with what the other ones did, and you can't fuck this up.
Oh, they can. I just hope they won't.
If they follow along with what the others did, you can't fuck this up. But I'm sure they can find a way to.
Like, everyone puts Dark Knight Returns on this massive pedestal and as in such a way that it's flawless. It's not flawless. A bunch of the whole Batman Superman thing was just stupid. Like, he got hit by a nuke. And it's spoilers, by the way. It's from 85. Get over it. It's like, it's 30 years old. Are you shitting me? Oh my God. Look, I swore on your show.
Yeah.
But, like he got hit by a nuke and he's all about to die and he touches a sunflower and he's better now. I'm like, okay, that's really Frank Miller. Eat a dick. That's no.
Okay, fair. The cartoon that came out, you know, since then was very good. Have you seen that?
The two-parter for Dark Knight Returns, that was pretty good.
Yeah, was it Dark Knight Returns? I thought Batman vs. Superman's already happened on cartoon.
Oh, it might have. I'm thinking of Dark Knight Returns, the animated version.
Yeah, Dark Knight Returns is, I don't know, like, I like it. I think it's very good, but I kind of feel the same way you did, like, where there's some serious holes in it that... You know, you don't want to point out, but it's so old that no one really, not as many people have gone back and actually reread it and gone, okay.
And it's not single-handedly, but it's almost single-handedly responsible for the 80s and 90s.
It is.
So you have to give it some leeway.
Oh no, it changed comics. Like it, you know, it was good for what it did. Absolutely. I'm not going to, discount that one bit. Like comics all of a sudden was allowed to be dark again. It didn't have to be the hokey, you know, I'm Superman. You know, it just.
Superman. Like, do you know what pisses me off to no end? Wait a minute. I have to double check this while we're talking. Hang on.
And through Chewie's mouth noises, the art of, or the mystery of truncate silence is now gone.
Oh, where is it? Ooh, okay. So the cosmic villain, Darkseid, right?
Yes.
He's like the ultimate, he's the DC version of Thanos, although I think he came slightly first, but
he did.
Either way, people know who Thanos is nowadays because of the Guardians and Avengers and all that.
I'll have you know I have the full Infinity Gauntlet series sitting just like within hand's reach of me right now. So that's how long I've known Thanos.
Right.
Thanos has been
my favorite villain ever since I read the first Infinity Gauntlet series, and I also have them in individual issues. Yeah.
Yeah. I got Surfer number 3. That's the second appearance of Thanos ever.
Ooh, nice. But, so going back to the hokiness of comics, Darkseid, like I said, he's the DC equivalent.
Wait, he has a sty on his eye?
Wow.
You said Darkseid.
Shut up. Darkseid's first appearance in DC Universe was in Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, number 134. Will someone please kill me? Like, seriously, come on now. That's how silly comics were back then.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, they were bad. They were really bad. But they were really good before that. Like, if you go back even further than that, like, before the FCC jumped in and was like, you gotta shut these comic books down because they're too gruesome and too bad. Like, those ones are awesome. Like, the old Tales from the Crypts.
The EC Comics stuff.
Yeah, dude, this shit was nuts. But, you know, then they was like, no, you're not allowed to do that. So then they had to tame it down and make it all about America. And, you know, then all of a sudden Captain America came along and Superman became, you know, the truth, justice, and the American way. You know, like, the American way is to rob you of every dollar you have legally. I hate to break it to you.
A YouTuber that I watch, Markiplier, he was playing this game called Vanish that is, it was his nemesis for a long time. But the whole point of the game is you're just in a sewer and you're wandering around and you're trying to avoid getting eaten by these monsters and you're trying to find the exit. And it's randomly generated. So if you go down a hallway that way long enough and turn around and go back, it's different. And the game hated him and he could not get through it. And he was doing this extra long, I'm going to play till I win or till my head explodes. And while he was rambling along, he just decided to talk about the history of America. And this was later animated I can't remember who, but it was animated by a guy who uses like the Team Fortress 2 skins for various YouTubers. Mm-hmm. And it starts off with America was founded on the philosophy of fuck you and just fuck all of y'all and we're just total dicks. And he just goes on, like, in the middle of this let's play of this game, he just goes on for like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes just on this, and it's hilarious. And then the animated version of it was even more better, and it's brilliant. And that's when you just said that's the American way, that's what popped into my head, and I had to explain it. Hi, I ramble.
Well, you know, rambling's not a bad thing when you're doing a conversational podcast. Where, you know, where the whole point of the podcast is to ramble.
Yay.
At some point we should probably put a theme to it, but I don't know. Right now so was you a big comic book guy when you was young? Cause like, I don't collect now and I was huge when I was young and I keep wanting to get back into it, but then I walk into a comic store and I see prices and I go, fuck you.
Yeah. Nowadays, like I don't care about owning the comics. I care about reading the story. So like when I found, like, I found the trade paperback of the Infinity Gauntlet, and I went, oh, dude, and I bought it. I already have the individual issues, but right. That's such a bitch to have to go dig through my long box and find and pull out and read each one. Screw it, I can just read this one book.
Yeah, I have that book, too, and the problem with that book I found is I don't get all the side stories. You have no clue what I'm talking about, huh?
Well, yeah, I remember all the side stories and nonsense that Marvel tended to do back then, well, but I didn't pay any attention to any of them.
See, I was into the Infinity Gauntlet when it came out, so like I bought all the issues. Like I have like a Ghost Rider book that the only reason I have Ghost Rider, this one book, because I was never a big Ghost Rider fan, was because it tied in with the Infinity Gauntlet. Like it was part of that story. So it was like, how did all those people? Because you remember on the very, I want to say it was the second Infinity Gauntlet, which in the big book, it's still the second one. It's the one where Thanos has the glove on and he's just like, I'm going to get you fuckers. But on that one, like all of a sudden all of Earth's heroes show up. Well, how did they get there? And all these side books, you know, one issue here, one issue there, an issue there, that explains how all of them got brought to that place to die. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But I mean, Marvel has gotten a lot worse about that over the years. Like to read the entire Civil War storyline, you have to buy like 1,000 comics. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Infinity Gauntlet, I want to say that I had like 70 side books, but back then they were only like $1 a piece.
Oh, God.
That's what the printed price was like $1. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So I bought all of them.
I was oh-godding at the number. Oh, geez.
Yeah, and I still...
Surely there's not that many.
And I still didn't get them all.
Ugh. I know that, like, for the Infinity Gauntlet, it wasn't too bad. For the Infinity War, it got awful. And for the Infinity, whatever the third one was, Crusade, like there were entire other sub storylines that took place that you only got a glimpse of in the main book, but you didn't lose anything if you didn't know about them. Like there was a couple of issues of Fantastic Four that I had that went along with the Infinity Crusade that followed along, you know, with what they were going through during Infinity Crusade. And in the actual Infinity Crusade series itself, it was just like briefly mentioned, like one panel here, one panel here, one panel there, we're done. And it was fine that way. But if you read this other stuff, it was just like adding greater resolution to the story, you know?
Yeah, it was just like, even with the Gauntlet, cause like, okay, after the Gauntlet is about when the comic book crash kind of happened, it was like the Death of Superman came out shortly after that, and that pretty much killed comic books. spoiler alert, it did. But it was like after that, I kind of got out of it because it was just like, okay, it's just too much. And I'm just, there's 93 different X-Men comics coming out every month. And it got fucking silly. And it's like, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to find something else to do. And I was like, marijuana. Yeah, you can take my money. Not this comic book. And you know what? I think the timing on that's probably about accurate. So I was like, money on comics or money on pot. I'm going to go pot. Because I can read a comic book in 15 minutes. I can buy a bag of pot and giggle for like days. So, you know, it just, sometimes you got to prioritize things.
You're like, I got out of comics because I went to college and just didn't have time or interest or room or money.
Right.
Or just any of that. I read Wizard, though, for a long time after I stopped fooling with comics, because Wizard kept me abreast of what was going on. And I know if there were any, like, really amazing, well-done books or miniseries or something out there, they would have something about it and I could go track them down.
Yeah, I check IGN every week because they do their Comics You Should Buy thing.
Cool.
To try and keep up with it now, but, like, I don't know, like, I kind of got into Magic at the same time as well, and just my money was just like, I'm going to get away from comics. And it's funny because all these comic book heroes that I grew up loving, you know, like, they're all becoming movies now. And, like, I can remember the first time I saw Samuel L. Jackson. I'm like, that's not Nick Fury. Nick Fury's a crazy old white dude. You know? And then, like, a buddy of mine's like, no, they changed that. I was like, oh, they did what?
Yeah. The Ultimate One. They actually used Sam Jackson as the base for the Ultimate version of Ultimate Universe. Marvel did a whole separate thing, listeners out there. For Nick Fury, that was based on Sam Jackson. I don't know how they ever got him to agree to let him do it, but whatever, you know.
He's Sam Jackson, dude. He's down for a lot of shit. Like, okay, here's a little fact about Sam Jackson that most people don't know. He has been in more blockbuster hits than any other actor on the planet. Like, if you take his total receipts from all the movies he's done in theaters, they add up to more money than any other actor on the planet.
Hell yeah, Deep Blue Sea.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He does a fuck ton of movies. So, you know, things just tend to work out. It's like, oh, I was in the Star Wars, so I get a bunch of money there. Oh, I was also in, you know, the Avengers. I get a bunch of money there. So, like, I mean.
Hey, I drove past, or I flew over New Zealand while they were filming. Okay. I was in Lord of the Rings.
Right. And, you know, I somehow duped millions of people to spend $100 million on opening weekend. So to hear me say one line while I'm on a plane.
So glad I never bothered to see that one.
That movie was not very good. I've watched every Samuel L. Jackson movie and that was not one of his better ones. Now, like, Jackie Brown was amazing. I suggest people go watch that.
That's on my Tarantino list that I haven't gotten around to yet.
Oh, you need to go see it. I mean, when you got to kill every motherfucker in the room. Of course, he says it so much better than I did.
I was going to say, is that the movie that came from?
Yeah, AK-47. When you got to kill every motherfucker in the room, accept no substitute.
I did not know that. Oh, yeah, now I've got to watch that.
Right, he's handling guns. but, yeah, so, you know, I don't know. Let's steer away from comics, maybe?
Yeah, we're just letting our nerd penises hang out in the wind.
Right. So, speaking of, 16-bit video games.
Left turn, Clyde.
Well, like, I know over the winter, like, you did the Chewy Plays Final Fantasy VI.
And I never did, like, finish that. Like, I ended up...
Nobody ever does when they go back to play that game. Trust me, I have, like, the whole... You know how there's, like, 15 save spots?
Yeah.
I have all 15 of them full, and I'm about in the same area on every one of them.
Nice.
I make it to the other world, and, you know, like... The bad thing is, like, the last board is not the hardest board, and Kefka is stupid easy to kill. So I get bored.
I love that game so much. I think it's because I was live tweeting it. Like, if I just wanted to sit down and play a game, I couldn't just sit down and play Final Fantasy VI because I managed to turn it into work. And people kept going, why don't you stream it? Why don't you stream it? I'm like, because it's Final Fantasy VI. No one wants to watch someone play Final Fantasy VI because there's a lot of walking around and grinding in misery. Now, I would make, like, YouTube videos about it if, like, the high points or something, but I don't have the technology to do that because I was playing it on my PS2.
Right.
I have the,
anthologies.
The Final Fantasy Anthology version, which, I have a PS2 that luckily will play it, so.
Right. I have the same thing. I mean, and it sucks because, like, I'll get on Twitch and I'll look and it'll be like Final Fantasy VII is being played. And I'm like,
dude, like, I loved Final Fantasy VII back in the day. I would not watch someone play it. I barely want to play it myself just because of all the wandering around and grinding and stuff. It's not a game that's conducive to an audience, I don't think.
Yeah, but you click on it, it's like, you know, someone's got 1,000 viewers, and it's like, really? Because like, I've tried playing that just recently, and like, I love the game. Like, the story in that game is outstanding, but like, I tried playing it just recently, and this is, you know, probably, what, 10 years removed at this point? Or more? And I'm just like, holy fuck, these graphics are horrendous. Like, these are worse than, like, the Final Fantasy VI graphics.
Oh, yeah.
Why did it have to go so stupid blocky? You know, and then it's like, you get this cool cutscene, and you're like, oh, yeah, those are really cool. Yeah. And they'd go back to, you know, Mr. Star Fox running around, just blocks. It's like, this is fucking horrendous. How did I love this so much? But, you know, the story is outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
So you've been playing you've played what, pretty much all the Final Fantasies?
No. I played one on the NES back when I was a kid.
Let me rephrase, all the good ones?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
So I played one on the NES back in the day. When it came out on the PlayStation, Final Fantasy Origins, I bought it, and it was better because they fixed some of the annoying design choices that are just not good.
Right.
And I played 2, which was what we in the US usually call 4 nowadays, but I played 2 on the Super Nintendo. Like, I was at a dude's birthday party, and he got it, and he just started playing, and one by one, we all dropped off to sleep. When we woke up the next morning, Jamie was still playing.
Right. As he should have.
And then I got it, like, the old man bought it for me for my birthday or something, you know, and I went over to a friend's house, and we started playing it, and he went to sleep, and I kept playing, and his mom showed up, like, behind us, because we were in the living room. She's like, go to bed. I'm like, why? She's like, because it's 4 in the morning. It's like, oh, right.
Yeah, I did sleep. I did. I woke up early.
Yeah.
I did that with that game. I spent many, 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 many hours just grinding that game. I love that game.
Yeah. 4 was amazing. And then 6 came out, which was 3 on the Super Nintendo. Right. And it was even better in every conceivable way.
Was it?
Yes.
See, Final Fantasy IV holds a very special spot with me. Like, to me, that is the pinnacle. That was the high point of Final Fantasy.
Oh, see, I don't have time for sentiment. I'm looking at just actual, like, technical capability. I'm like, yeah, this game is, it's as much a jump from 4 to 6 as it was from 1 to 4, you know?
Like, fair, but, you know, my issue was always the, I liked the summoners who just learned the summons rather than having to go collect the Magicite, and then you could overly pump your characters to just make them stupid strong because of the Magicite you had, and I felt that actually hindered the game because it made it too easy.
Well, if you did that, then sure, but.
Oh, you gotta grind your ass off. I mean, level 99 sitting there for you to touch.
But, see, we'll come back to that. Then I played 7, and graphics aside, 7 was amazing.
Yes.
Which at the time the graphics, you know, I didn't mind. I thought, I was like, this is stupid, but then I stopped seeing the blockiness and whatnot, you know?
At the time it was cutting edge, no question. Yeah,
and again, like you said, the story was, I don't know if it was, it's confusing as all hell, but it's really deep and intricate. And then there's all this other stuff to do once you get out of the first city, and it was just brilliant. And then 8 came out.
That's very well put.
And I was all excited. I picked up 8 after it'd been out for a little while, and I was like, yeah, never could get into it. I hated all the characters. I hated the draw system. I just hated it.
You know what's funny about 8? I played through that game long enough to collect every card because I liked the card game better than the game. Dude, I would play that Triple Triad, I think it was called.
Something like that, yeah.
I would play that thing for hours, and like, my brother would come and was like, are you ever going to beat this? I'm like, no. How the fuck would I run around looking for hidden magic or hidden draw points when all I could do is just sit here and play this card game all day? This card game's fucking amazing.
This is where you see the addiction start.
Right.
And then 9 came out, and it went back to the fantasy roots, and the characters weren't all assholes. And
9 was awesome.
And the art style was back to, you know, something more, you know, bouncy and friendly and not so deadly serious. And I loved it, but somehow, I don't think I ever finished it. Like, I think I got distracted or I lost my save somehow and I got frustrated and I never went back to it.
Do you need me to send that to you?
Oh, no, I have it on PlayStation. Oh,
okay. But just make sure, because you need to go beat that.
Right? And then that's where I stopped. Like, when 10 came out, I was at such a point that I just didn't care. And then 11 was an MMO, and from there I lost. I don't even know what the last one was, like 26 or something. I know there were 3 Final Fantasy 13s, which, okay, what?
There was a couple Final Fantasy 10s.
Well, there was X2, which was Barbie Dress Up.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I legitimately have not played. Maybe I got 12. I did get 12. I played 12. 12 was really good. But I have not played a Final Fantasy since. I didn't play 11. I played X. I did not play X2. I played everything from 1 through X. Like, you know, I got the Game Boy imports. Hell, I even played Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. Have you ever heard of that one?
Well, everyone's heard of that one. No one likes it, but.
Dude, that game was, I called that game the starter game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When any of my buddies would come over and watch me play Final Fantasy and be like, why are you into this? I'd be like, here, play this. And they'd play it and they'd be like, I get it now. And I'm like, yeah, now the only difference is you don't see the monsters now. Like, you always have to make sure that your life is full. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. I get it. Like, now I understand. I'm like, great. But I played a lot of Mystic Quest. I didn't think it was terrible. Tactics was unreal.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Tactics, because it's not a Final Fantasy game exactly, but I played the hell out of some Tactics.
Dude, I still go back every winter when I'm laid off, and I will, like, dedicate a week of my life to Tactics. Nice. Every winter, I'm just like, okay, I gotta get Cloud to level 100, and it's like, you don't get Cloud until the rest of your characters are, like, on 80, so you just go back to the beginning boards, and you're throwing rocks at people with them. Yeah. I gotta gain levels, rock throw.
I was talking to someone about Cloud not too long ago, I can't remember who it was, and they were like, you know, even when you get Cloud's level up really high, he's still not that good. I'll say, that's too bad. They're like, it really is.
Nah, you know what? I thought that his limit break, because that was his ability, his moves, his limit breaks were good.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he was in my final party the first time I beat it.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, I had him in my party. I was like, I'm using him, you know. And the bad thing is, like, you got, like, six characters that you could run most of the time, but five was the typical number. Five or four. Or am I wrong here?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Last time I tried to play Final Fantasy Tactics was when I worked at Crest, and that was when the show was just starting. So that was like 7-8 years ago. So
okay.
I don't actually remember.
There's like a max number of characters that you can have in your party, you know.
Right.
Each board changes. It'll be like 2 in this board, 5 in this board, 3 in this board. And he seemed, you know, on actual legitimate strength, he always seemed to be the next one. When you got him powered up, it's like, you know, he's my 6th best character, but I can only use 5.
I gotcha.
So it's like, he wasn't that he was bad. It was just like, fuck, I wish he was just a little bit better to justify running him over Beowulf. You know, like, just a little bit. Oh, fucking God. Dude, Nintendo was amazing. Super Nintendo was amazing.
Yeah, Genesis was all right.
Genesis was ho-hum. I mean, Dreamcast was good.
Yeah, my roommate freshman year of college had a Dreamcast, and college was a lot of, crap. What was the big multiplayer game on the Dreamcast? The fighting games, Soul Calibur.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Soul Calibur? Was that the first one, right?
It might have been. My group was all, let's get stoned and play Crazy Taxi for the next 10 hours. We did a lot of Crazy Taxi.
We played a lot of, It was whatever the freaking debate. I think it was the first Soul Calibur. I'm pretty sure. Smash Brothers on the 64, and that goofy boxing game that was on the Dreamcast.
I do not remember that.
I don't either.
Dude, remember WCW Wrestling?
Dreamcast boxing game. Here we go. Ready to Rumble boxing. There we go.
Oh yeah, I do remember it now.
And those are the games that we all played the holy living hell out of, and it was amazing freshman year of college.
Yeah, we was real big on the Crazy Taxi, Grand Theft Auto 2, we was big on, even though that game was terrible.
The first two Grand Theft Auto games were awesome. Once you got used to the overhead thing.
They were different than what they are now.
Actually, I never played 2. I played the hell out of 1, though.
Yeah.
Two was, like, in England or something, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It was not a good game, but we played a lot of it because, you know, bored drugs.
You get to run over monks, dude.
Yeah, you get to run over everything.
Oh, that was great.
And the cops go, oh. And the point of that game was to actually get the cops to chase you, where in subsequent games, it's like, okay, I want to try and get all this done without getting a star. You know? And it's like, yeah, I'm trying to get 7 stars. That was like the rule in fucking the old GTAs. And it's like, now it's like, we got to be stealthy. Man, fuck being stealthy. Get in there, guns blazing. Balls. So let's see here. We've covered video games. We've covered comic books. Is there anything else you want to cover?
I don't know. Now I'm kind of bummed out.
Oh.
Well, see what I did there?
Yeah, that was a sucker. So anybody who's been following me and Chewy over the past couple of years knows that Chewy has had his ups and downs with depression. And I have recently revealed that, you know, I have quietly, with me, my wife, and my therapist, been dealing with it myself. And, you know, I don't know if this is the correct forum to do it. I don't know if it's something that people really want to hear about, but we nonetheless are going to give it a shot to talk about, you know, that side of things. Because
yeah, I think, like, once I realized what was going on, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so this is a thing that I never thought would happen to me, because I've always prided myself on my mental stability, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm a pretty well put together guy. I'm fairly easygoing, unless things just completely piss me off.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I, you know, logically think out everything. I have a brain on my head, you know.
Yeah. And not one in your head. It's, he wears it like a hat.
Yeah. Mental hardship is just a, you know, I don't know. I was brought up in the jock era where in those surroundings where, you know, that's a weakness. You
don't yeah, man up, it. Walk it off, rub some dirt on it, get over it, shut
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Like, you'll be fine. Fucking suck it up, pussy. You know,
that's exactly. The... yeah. And like my sophomore year of college, one of my really good friends, was depressed. Well, he wasn't depressed at the time, or at least not actively depressed, but he taught me a lot about it. He's like, it's not weakness, because we would just hang out and talk about things, you know? Mm-hmm. And eventually that would come up, and he's like, it's not a weakness. It's partially a chemical imbalance for some people, and for others, it's just this wall you can't get around. And I didn't understand at the time. I was like, oh, okay. So my deal, I was at a job. And it was easily not the worst job I'd ever had as far as the job itself. The job itself was fine. It was picking and shipping orders.
That seems rather easy.
Yeah, the job itself was not a problem. It was the fact that the environment was awful. Like, the boss, the first boss I had, gradually got more and more useless. His boss was the biggest douche that had ever lived. And if I could see him right now, I would hurt him. Like, I've hated, so I was bullied as a kid. You know, we talked about this on the last one, the last Imps Prison, a couple times I had to punch people, you know. But I was bullied as a kid. I still, like, I don't hate those people anymore. But this guy, I will never stop hating, cause this guy is the biggest ass I have ever met. And I wouldn't wish him on my worst enemy.
Yeah, but hating requires so much energy.
No, not really. It's a very generalized hatred, but whenever, like, I have a listener who has the same name as him, and it'll be like on Facebook, oh, such and such sent you a message. I'm like, oh wait, no, okay, we're good.
No, it's this other guy. That's right.
Yeah, I'm like, hey buddy, but like, what the fuck do you? Oh, it's okay. Delete. Hey buddy, what's up?
Right.
But he was condescending. Now, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I'm a really smart guy. Like, I can handle things. I can figure things out.
Sure you can, Chewy.
And when the job is, you have an order with these car parts, and you go to the shelf, and you match the number of the part, and then you match the name, and then you pick it up and put it in a box, and you bring it over here, you put paper in it, and you ship it. It's not hard. Don't talk to me like I'm a fucking idiot, because some other jackass can't read orders. Like, leave me alone.
Right.
And he also didn't like logic. I'm like, you know, if we do it like this and this, this will actually speed us up. He's like, well, we're not doing it that way. Why not? Because it's your idea. Oh, well, all right then.
Yeah, everybody hates logic. I had a guy the other day talking about how he's like, yeah, so the sun's not real hot. And I'm like, I hate to break it to you. The sun is the exact same temperature every day.
Sorry, what?
So we're out working and it's like raining and I'm trying to put this ball field in and it quits raining, but it's kind of sunny, but it's cloudy. And he's like, you know, it'd be okay if it was windy and the sun was hot. And I'm like, well, the sun's always hot. Whether or not we get the heat off of it is a different story. That thing is always the same temperature.
No,
he's like,
what if,
fuck you.
What if someone turned the dimmer switch, man? Come on, man. And, now it's not so hot, is it?
And I was being the asshole, but just, you know, educating this gentleman. And he did not take it that way. He's like, I used to like you. Fuck you. I was like, all right. I don't know what the hell I just did, but okay. So logic most people hate logic.
But it turns out that this guy was the source of most of the problem. So this job was soul crushing. It did not pay for squat. Like, I have a degree in physics, for God's sakes. Like, I should be, which really physics doesn't do you any good unless you're going to get more schooling. But what a degree in physics teaches you is problem solving. And any problem that we had, once I learned what I was doing, like, everybody would come to me with problems because the manager was kind of useless. It turns out he was on his way out. Like, he was looking for other jobs and whatnot. So, like, I became the, hey, Chewy, help me with this. Or, hey, Chewy, what do you think? And, hey, Chewy, how do I fix this? You know, that sort of thing. And here I am making my $0 a month. And I'm like, and and lots of things all came together. So I had the terrible job. I was constantly broke. The stress of being the guy who has it all together at work was killing me. The fact that no one ever appreciated it.
Yeah.
Like, the higher ups could give a damn how many hours I was there. Clearly I wasn't working long or hard enough because there were still mistakes. And I'm like, well, I'm only one guy and you refuse to fire or even talk to the people who are making the mistakes. So shut the fuck up. But anyway, that just pressed on me and pressed on me and pressed on me. And then I was also like, so I would work there in this thankless environment with, and after Hot Girl at Work left, there was just nobody. Like, it was just me and a bunch of people that I could barely tolerate.
That becomes soul crushing after a while where you're just like, I'm going into work to deal with these people who I hate and I understand this completely.
And then I would come home and have to devote several hours every night to MTGcast, because at the time I was the guy who was doing all the work for MTGcast.
At the time?
Yeah. Dude, there's not hardly any work to be done anymore. But I mean, I was the guy, I would spend hours every night doing all of everything to get the shows posted. Because with two people doing it, it was actually more work. Because I was halfway through posting a bunch of shows, and Otwell was working on them at the same time, and he had gotten them all done just as I was about to get them all done. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. So,
because we weren't communicating, it was awful. And we had to make sure each person could get into the Google Doc, so it was just a large pain. And the Google Doc gets slower and slower and slower the more you add to it, and it was just generally terrible.
Yeah, it was a lot harder back then just from the fact that, like, we sent the show to you. We didn't send, like, now we do all the pre-work, and all you have to do is hit publish.
Yeah, it's is this right? Is this right? Yep, good, post. Awesome.
Yeah, and before we just sent the show to you and was like, do everything.
Yeah, and you can, like, when people send in an email with show notes, you can just copy paste, but then if it looks like crap, I couldn't have it look like, so it was copy paste, hit preview, oh God, and I have to go in and fix the show notes to where it didn't look like a bunch of monkeys were doing it, which we were, but, so I would spend like hours every night doing that, and then, oh, it's time to go to bed, crap, like, and on nights when we had to record, during that point, it was like, oh, thank God I can talk to my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and all these things swept together and it was going broken. Otwell was like, hey, I'm thinking of shutting down the network. And I was like, what? And I was like, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll buy the network. I'll get it from them and Scott and I will redo it. And who's my roommate and webmaster. I was like, we'll redo it. We'll get everything figured out. We'll make it profitable. This will be great. And all of that stress, like, was just pressing on me. And it doesn't sound so bad now that I'm saying it out loud, but every day I fought to get up and go to work because I hated it so much. And every night I hated to come home from work because I had all this MTGcast work lined up and I had to do it because if I didn't do it, I just had that and what everyone sent in the next day.
On top of that, you had, you know, 1,000 tweets from people or private messages. Hey man, can you put my show up?
Yeah, and this is where I learned to have a vague, low-lying hate for most Magic podcasters because they didn't understand. Well, no, not you actually were one of the ones who understood. But, and it, I didn't really hate them. Just every once in a while someone would be like, hey, what's my show not up? And I'd go, fuck you! And I'd go, oh, sorry.
Delete, delete, delete.
Yeah, delete, delete, delete. Hey, buddy. And it was just, like, I realized, so at work one day, I was, like, the boss, the big boss had just left, and we were all like, and they were all like, okay, we gotta hurry up and get this done and this done because we got this going on. And in my brain was still the whole, can I even afford to take on MTGcast and try to run it? And all of that hit me all at once, and I had my very first panic attack.
Those suck.
And it was awful, dude. Like, wait, no, this isn't true. This was later. This was at night one night was my first one. Sorry. So at night, hang on, I'm screwing that. No, I had what probably was like a small panic attack at work one day and it freaked me out. Cause like all of a sudden I realized I was really lightheaded and I couldn't catch my breath and I just went and sat down. Everyone's like, are you alright? I'm like, just leave me alone. Everyone's just don't fucking talk to me. Leave me alone. And you know, after a little while, you know, I drank some water and I felt better and I went back to work. That night, this was the first day after Otwell had mentioned, hey, what if I just shut down the network? We're like, what? And so that night I get home and I'm running through all this in my head. I'm trying to go to sleep. You know, I've gotten everything done and try to go to sleep. And that is when I had my first full blown panic attack. It was, and I realized it. I was like, what's going on? I can't breathe. Oh, I'm having a panic attack. And I thought in my brain, now that I realize what's going on, I'll calm down and I can stop it. Yeah, that's not how that shit works. Nope. And it was awful. Like I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't, like, my roommate was just in the room next door, but he had had problems with this before and I didn't want to bother him. And it was like 2 a.m. and I had to be at work in, what, 6.5 hours, and I really need to go to sleep. And it was, I just could not, and my whole, everything was just spinning, and it was bad, and it felt like I was helpless and there's nothing I could do.
Yeah.
And I finally, like, it finally passed after what felt like, it was probably just a minute or two. It felt like it was forever. And out of like, and I laid there awake for I don't even know how long. And at some point, out of sheer exhaustion, I passed out. And when my alarm went off, I picked up the phone and texted my boss. I'm like, dude, I'm not coming in today. Just trust me on this. Sorry. And I went back to sleep and woke up several hours later and did not feel any better. And it was just bad. Like, it was just bad. And that's when I realized I can't do the MTG cast thing. Just thinking about it has done this to me physically. I can't do it. And that, and I also realized, like, I was in a relationship that wasn't good for me. There were other things going on besides just these that were just weighing on my head.
Yeah, it's never just one thing. It's always a combination, or at least I found with me, it's a combination of many different things hitting you at once, and you're just like, oh, fuck it.
And I realized that my life is actually kind of terrible. Let me try to fix this. So I mentally disengaged from this relationship that wasn't good for me. Like, the people involved were fine, but the relationship itself was just not healthy. It was fun. It wasn't healthy. So I mentally disengaged from that, and that helped. And I said, okay, I'm not going to do this MTG cast thing. That's just stupid. There's no way I can make it work. And that helped. And I stopped stressing at work so much. You know, I'm like, well, I'm recording tonight and it's 6 o'clock. Fuck you. I'm going home. Yeah, but going home. Don't care. Going home. Recording tonight. Meh.
Yeah, I'm making time for me. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't let MTGcast stuff stress me as much. I'd be like, look, I'm taking a night off. Sorry, everybody. But I want my show to go up. Well, I'm sorry. I'm taking tonight off. Post your show. I got to post them all. That only ever happened when I was like, I am taking the night off. Fuck it. People would be like, hey, but my show. I don't even remember who it was. I just remember that happened exactly one time. I was like, sorry.
Well, you know, is what it is.
It was for my own help, but things gradually, like, at work got worse and worse and worse and worse, and everybody but me that worked there previously in the back was fired or quit or just left without telling anyone. And we had all these new people, and this new guy who thought he was my boss, even though he was just a chump because he was shoved up the big boss's ass. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he was conspiring with the big boss to let me go. So they had me training all these new people on everything, which is standard procedure, you know.
Yeah.
And they were trying to find a reason to fire me. Now, the way it worked is GM would deliver the parts, and the people would put them, you know, receive them and put them to the shelves they needed to be at. So my job couldn't start until they were done. And because we had new people and whatnot, they were terrible at it. So when I would show up at whatever time I was supposed to show up, I would end up just standing around doing nothing, or, you know, doing things that then weren't necessary for like 30, 45 minutes. So I just started coming in gradually 30, 45 minutes later. And I would get there and I'd be like, are we done? I'm like, we just finished. I'm like, sweet. But I was always the last person to leave. So, you know, I wasn't missing any hours. They wasn't screwing them out of any time. I shifted my hours to match my work, and they didn't like that because they didn't tell me to. So they fussed at me about it several times. And, you know, every time they'd fuss at me, I'd be okay. And the next week I'd come in on time and waste a lot of time in the morning, and I'd gradually just slip back to where I was. And one day they were like, look, you came in. I was like 12 minutes late from the time they told me to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, so I'm going to have to send you home. I was like, what? He's like, I'm going to have to send you home. And my boss really didn't want to do this because he knew I was the best asset he had, but it was coming from on high. He's like, I'm going to have to send you home for 3 days. I was like, what?
He's Did I like, just get suspended from school?
He's like, I had to send you home for 3 days without pay for coming in late. I'm like, you realize this is not punishment, right? Like, this is awesome. I made no bones about how much I hated the job, but I also made no bones about how much I was good at it and that they really needed me.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. So I went home. Cool. Actually, I went to my parents' house. I was like, they sent me home for 3 days. We had lunch. The old man grilled a steak that night. It was awesome.
It's like a little vacation. Like, I didn't have to waste no vacation days, and I got 3 days off. This is great.
Yeah. So I came back to work, and Luke was like, look, I'm sorry. You just got to be here on time. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. And I came in on time. And then there was one day where traffic was just against me. And I showed up, I think it was 3 minutes late. And it was the day, like, it was the end of month, and the place freaked out, and we all had to work our asses off. And we were going to work on Saturday, because Saturday was the last working day of the month. And we didn't work on Saturdays, but the Saturday we did. And I was like, he goes, you're late again. And I'm like, are you serious? It's Friday, the end of the month. You don't have time for this. He's like, I have no choice. I got to send you home. I'm like, look, let me work today and tomorrow, and I'll take the first 3 days off next week. That way you don't shoot yourself in the foot. Because if we work Saturday, there's nothing to do on Monday. So that won't hurt you. So you're only really losing me for 2 days. He's like, if I could do that, I would. I can't. You got to go home.
Okay.
I was like, you're stupid, right? Like, you know this is completely stupid. He's like, go. All right. So I went home. And I took Friday off, and I took Saturday off, and I took Monday off. And then I said, you know what? Saturday doesn't count. So I called in on Tuesday. And when I came back, they were massively far behind from me being out on Monday. Like, they didn't even get everything done for the end of the month. Like, I was flipping through the big orders, the massive things that sometimes they need to go freight, and sometimes it's just really big. And, yeah, there was stuff there from, like, Thursday. And I was like, shouldn't have sent me home. And I got them caught up. Like, me and the other person worked on the bigs until they were all caught up, and then the other orders weren't printed yet. So I shipped all the bigs, and they called me over to the big boss's office for the disciplinary form, I thought. And he was like, so you're gonna have to go home, and we no longer need your services. I laughed in his face.
As you should.
And called him names that are probably not the best. I don't remember what they are now, but they were funny.
Oh, I was going to say, because, like, you know, I put the parental warning on this show, so you can say them.
But I also told his lackey that he was never anything more than a sycophant, and he was a useless piece of shit. So, you know. But, and then I went home, and I was so happy. I'm like, they finally fired me. I had been working on the plans for the Kickstarter for, like, 3 or 4 months at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I had realized somewhere, I got caught up in the job, but I realized in there somewhere I am actually, like, depressed. Like, actually depressed. Because nothing helps. Every day is a struggle. I don't want to get up in the morning. I don't want to go to bed at night. I don't want to do anything. I hadn't played a video game in I don't even know how long. Like when I get home from work finally, it's sit down and try to unwind and fail. And now I got to go to bed so I can get up in the morning and do it again. And it was just the worst, and I may, like, at some point, like, right before they let me go was when I realized this, when I was like, I don't do anything for me anymore. I don't do anything I enjoy. I don't hang out with people. I don't see people. I don't like people. I don't want to see people. And that's not me. I'm a very social animal.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I realized this, and I was like, wow. So this is what it's like. It was, one of my listeners, Stark, actually put it best when I was talking to him earlier. Hang on, let me see if I can still find it. It was crazy. He said scroll. Nope, won't let me go back that far. But he said something like that point of in your life when you realized you were drowning but couldn't do anything about it because you hadn't known all this time that you've been drowning, or something like. He was much more poetic about it, but I don't do poetic very well.
It's like you were stabbed in the back and you just kept going about your day, and eventually you just bleed out and you never even knew you were stabbed in the back.
Yeah, and it was awful. Like, I had actually finalized most of the important stuff for the Kickstarter by, like, March. Like, the plan was to get the Kickstarter launched in March,
So
it finished up in April, and then quit the day before my anniversary of this job. I think it was going to be the 2 year or 3 year, whatever, anniversary.
Yeah.
Like, that was the plan. And then, but I couldn't move forward with it. And when they finally fired me in, like, June or July, I was like, oh, well, damn, that was awesome. But, like, I had to make a conscious effort Like, it's bad when I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to play Dead Island. And I'm making a conscious effort to plug in a video game and play it because it's good for me.
And force yourself to. Like, you might not even be enjoying it. You're just hitting buttons.
Yeah, but I made the effort to force myself to do things that I knew I enjoyed. And hopefully I will start enjoying them again. And I started, you know, reaching out to friends again and just generally changing my perspective on things. And I managed, I thought, to get through it. And I'm like, okay, if this can happen to me, one of the most stable people I've ever met, and I've met me, believe it or not, I'm pretty awesome. I was like, this is something I have to tell people about. And I brought it up on the Manipool. I was like, look, this is a thing, and everyone should know that if this happens to you, it happens to lots of people. It happened to me, I never thought it could. You know, you're not alone. And I got a lot of people who responded positively. They're like, thank you. And I was like, that's all I wanted, was to help people. And I was like, but I'm better now. Like, gradually, like, the Kickstarter went wonderfully. I got all the stuff ordered eventually. I got all the problems with freaking Kickstarter and the money taken care of. Yes. And I'm all right. I'm going to start this content production. I'm going to get on videos and start doing video content in addition to the podcast. And yeah, and it'll be awesome. And around November, all of November and December doing like nothing. I just sit on the couch and channel surf. And I hate television.
Yeah, TV is not good. And it's really not good for somebody in depression, to be honest, because you just sit there and just go... Rrr.
Yeah. And around that time is where, like, it was right after Jersey. So whenever GP New Jersey was right after that is when this hit me. I don't know, that's probably purely coincidental because Jersey was a blast. But also right about then, my roommate stopped living here full time. Like, he started spending all of his time with his woman. And
you can't blame a man for that.
No, not at all. But I was just alone all the time.
Yeah.
And if you can go look at the video uploads during that time, there's like nothing. Like, I recorded like 3 or 4 random card videos. I just put up the last one last week or week before. Like, it took me that long just because I just didn't want to do anything. Like, when I had to do something, like, it's time to record Monday Night Magic. Okay. Edit Monday Night Magic. Post it. Boom. Good. It's time to record the Manipool. Edit Manipool. Post it. Good. And then after that, I was like,
yeah.
I couldn't do anything. But when people would like come hang out, I would, you know, perk up and we'd watch Netflix or YouTube or go out and have food or whatever. And yay, everything's good. And then they leave and I'd go back to the couch. And I didn't even realize it until like right before Christmas or right after Christmas or January.
Something. Yeah.
Somewhere in this line, like right before Christmas, one of my cousin's kids who was very young and autistic died suddenly. And that was bad. And I, like, when my mom told me that, thank God it wasn't a night when we were going to record. I was supposed to do a guest spot on, Jeff and Jack's Not Another Magic Podcast.
Okay. Yeah. The Christmas episode.
It was, yeah, it was supposed to be on that.
They had a bunch of people on that. I remember.
Yeah. And mom had called me earlier that day and told me this. And I was just bummed. Like, I sat here and would just occasionally find myself in tears. I hate to sound like a callous jerk, but like, he was my cousin's son and I knew him and I, you know, he was family, but it shouldn't have affected me that much for me to sit here crying for 3 days.
No,
you know?
Shouldn't have. No, and, I get what you're saying. Like, it, you know, it wasn't like somebody you was with every day. It wasn't your mom or your dad where they like you, that's understandable.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, there's a problem here. And that's when I realized again, holy crap, I've been depressed for like a month. What the hell? How did that happen? I didn't say that could happen. I didn't even notice. And I started gradually dragging myself out of it again. And it wasn't until probably February when I managed to feel like I was back in not total control, because I still have days where I just sit here.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a while.
But it's people that have never experienced this sort of thing like me before my last job would never understand, because I never would have. But it's not like you can just shake it off and get over it or rub some dirt on it, you know, man up and take a lap. It doesn't work that way, because you can't. You can act like you're getting over it, which I did a lot, but you're still not over it, you know?
No, I get it completely. I know with me, this is something I've long suffered with. And like a therapist once told me, and you know, like every time this has happened, I've gone and seen therapists and eventually I pull myself out of it. It has less to do with the therapist, but it's still good just to have someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And, originally it happens to me literally like every 10 to 15 years. It's happened 3 times in my life where I've fallen into a deep depression for over a year. The first time it happened, I was like in the sixth grade. The next time it happened, I was like, you know, 21, 22. And then now it's, you know, going on again, and I'm beginning to pull out, thank God. But you know, I was 34 years old, you know, 33, 34. And it's like, and the way the therapist explained it to me, because if you catch me in the middle years, if something, you know, happens and, you know, it's might be somewhat in my control, but at the same time is kind of out of my control, I'm the guy who goes, ah, whatever, it'll fix itself. Well, you know, and I do that mainly because I don't want other people around me to panic. You know, like, I'll take on the responsibility of this. Don't worry about it, guys. I got it. It's just, you know, go do what you got to do. I'm fine. You know, and it's like, whether it's, you know, bills and, you know, like, me and my wife got buried in bills in the past recent one. And, like, my job is just, like, I hate every single person I work with, short of, like, two people there. And it was just like, you know, I'd come home and I'd just be like, ah, don't worry about it. We always end up, you know, figuring something out. It'll be cool. You know, we'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get it. And, you know, I kept saying that, but in the back of my mind, I just kept panicking about it. Well, over the years of me doing that, the way the therapist explained it to me is I'm a man who carries stones, and I have to be a little bit more proactive to not carry said stones. And what that means is, excuse me, is every time one of those little problems happens, imagine, you know, you throw a little pebble in your pocket. And I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense. He goes, well, how many pebbles can you stick in your pocket before it fucking breaks? And I'm like, ah, okay.
Yeah.
That actually makes perfectly good sense, because, like, you can clock it perfectly. Like, every 10 to 12 years, bang, 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 this happens to me. And, I mean, the most recent one was the worst one I've ever had. You know, like, I had one just as I was getting out of the military. And, you know, I thought a lot of that was just adjusting to civilian life again. You know, like, that was my thought. That's why that was happening. You know, when I was in the sixth grade, it was just, you know, like, it was easily blamed on the fact that, like, my parents split up and, you know, like, it was official finally. Like, my dad had been gone for, you know, years, but it was official now. And, you know, some other things was going on in life, and it was like, well, yeah, that's going to play its toll. So, like, when I'd look back on it, I was like, reason, makes sense. Okay, cool. This will never happen to me again because I'm in control of my life. And, you know, things move forward, and eventually, boom, pocket burst again. And I, like, last January or last July, early August-ish, you know, I really don't want to talk about again, but I did something I shouldn't have done. I put it out on my other podcast a few weeks ago. You can go back and hear that there. It's not something I'm proud of. But, you know, I tried to say goodbye to me. And, you know, like, the next morning I get up for work, because, you know, I failed, and, like, I'm literally in the truck driving a delivery down the street. You know, all this is put, you know, 4 ton of X material into back of truck, drive 2 miles, pull a lever on truck, push lever back in, drive back to where I came from, right? Simplest thing on the planet you could possibly do. And I didn't make it there, and literally I had to pull over because I couldn't see, because randomly, illogically, completely out of the blue, I had an anxiety attack that brought me to tears. And anybody who's known me knows that, you know, like, you could punch me in the face repeatedly, I'm not gonna cry. Like, physical pain does not get to me, but this did. And, like, that was when the dam burst. And, like, I got back to the shop after running the delivery finally. Like, my boss is like, it took you an hour and a half to do a 2 mile delivery. Like, what the fuck? And I, like, you know, I was in the office with him. Nobody else was around. And I just broke down to him and explained it to him. Like, I don't know what's going on. Something's fucked here. I had an anxiety attack. I know it was an anxiety attack. And then I started having one again because I'm explaining this anxiety attack to him. And he's like, you just go home. Just, you know, take the day off, go home, relax. And I'm like, okay, all right, yeah. So then I go home, I relax, I do what I got to do at home. And I start to pull myself out after about a month of trudging to work every day, kind of the way you was, where it's like, I don't want to be here. But it's scheduled in my day that I have to do this. So I'm going to go do this thing that I'm scheduled to do. And, you know, the show, when I was doing the Pit Imps at the time, it was the same deal. It was like, Tuesdays was just, you know, like, oh, it's Tuesday night, it's 8 o'clock, I have to record. So I'm going to get on here and I'm going to talk about this game that, you know, it legitimately was the only thing at the time that would bring me even the slightest joy is when I could sit down in front of my computer and play MTGO for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when MTGO is bringing joy to you, there's a problem. Look,
too soon.
There's holes that need fixed. So I'm just like, you know, so I would talk about the game and, you know, I would kind of spunk up during the show and begin to feel a little bit better. But then as soon as the show was over and I was done talking about this game, I'd go back into my living room. I'd sit down on the couch and go, I guess I got to go to bed. I got to get up tomorrow and go do that thing that I don't want to do that I have to do every day because it's scheduled for me to do it. And it's just, it became this like recycled issue. But I did begin to pull out and then I break my hand. And, you know, like the physical exercise does help. So being, you know, just my boss was kind of understanding and he tried to schedule me to work by myself or work with like choice people. Like I said, there's like two people there that I really get along with. So he would try to, you know, if I had to have somebody with me, he would try to give me one of those two people. So it's like, okay, this, you know, he's working with me. He's, you know, trying to make my days as easy as they could be. While still doing, you know, backbreaking physical labor. So it was like, okay, cool. And I'm beginning to really pull myself out. And like the one morning we send one group of guys who is behind and my boss is like losing his mind because these guys should have been gone from the shop. Like we show up at work at 7 o'clock. We load our tools. You should be gone from the shop by 7:30 at the very latest, right? Mm-hmm. It's 8 o'clock. And, you know, like I'm waiting on them to get the loader. So, and I'm working by myself. I'm going to go spread 8 yards of mulch that day all by myself. And, you know, whatever. I can do that. That's not a problem. So, you know, but I'm waiting on them to get the loader and they're dicking around over here, dicking around over there. And the guys who are supposed to be loading the tools are standing in the shed, kind of hiding, you know, shooting the shit and fucking smoking cigarettes. And my boss comes around the corner and he fucking loses it. Because everyone's just kind of standing around and like he looks at me and I'm like, I need the loader. All of my tools are right here. I'm ready to go. I just need that loader. So, you know, he goes over and he snaps out on the one guy and, you know, eventually they get out of there. But, and, you know, I get my stuff loaded while, you know, the boss is telling them where they need to go and hurry up and get the fuck out and all this other stuff. I'm like, cool. And I'm up top of the truck and I'm strapping down all of my, my material because you can't have it flying out the back while you're, driving down the road. So I'm putting this tarp on and I slip on the tarp and I come down and I crack my wrist and trying to catch myself. I snap my wrist clean and, you know, I go to the hospital and that gets taken care of. And like at the time, legitimately, I was beginning to pull out of this. Like I was, you know, beginning to feel good with myself. And well, then I come back to work and I'm on light duty. And when you're on light duty on a job that is backbreaking labor, it's real easy to feel like an insignificant, useless cog. Like he would be like, I don't know, paint that wall today. You know, he would just, because, you know, he didn't want to lay me off because he, you know, and this is the way he believes it should be. Like you shouldn't get laid off for something unless it is absolutely 100% medically necessary. Like as long as you can do something here, I'm going to find something for you to do rather than me pay you to sit at home,
yeah.
Which it's his money. He has the right to think that way. And I didn't have a problem with that. I'd come in every day and he would have something crazy for me to do, but it would be like, you know, I'd come in and like paint this wall. I'd paint this wall and, you know, he'd be like, okay, you got that wall painted good. You know, that'll work, you know, do this today, do that today. And then it got to the point where he was sending me out on these jobs and he's like, all I want you to do is supervise. Do not pick up a shovel. Do not do this. Do not do that. You have one arm. You can't do this stuff. I just want you to explain to everybody who's on the job how it's supposed to be done. And then I want you to make sure it's being done correctly. Well, I'm not that person. Like I'm the guy who, you know, I'm a foreman up there and I'm a working foreman. You know, I'm not the foreman who sits on a bucket all day and barks out orders. I'm the guy who goes, all right, let's see, we got to run an edger, we got to do this, 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 and we got to do this. I'm going to take the hardest thing, and I'm going to leave you guys these easy things to do. You know, that's just how I operate. I just feel like, you know, I don't want to ask my guys to do anything that I won't do myself.
Right.
And I will prove to them every day that I'm willing to do the worst thing. That way, you know, there should never be any disrespect there. But, you know, in the meantime, they're all back channeling saying I don't do shit and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, go fuck yourself, guys. But after I snap my, you know, I'd show up on these jobs and I'd stand there for 10 hours, sometimes in the rain, sometimes in the snow, and I'm just not doing anything. And, you know, you begin to feel like a useless piece of shit. That's realistically the only way I can explain it. And then I come home and guess what? I'm not doing anything there either. So all I'm doing is sitting there feeling like a useless piece of shit all day long for 24 hours. And then winter hits and I'm laid off. Well, guess what I'm doing all day long, sitting on my couch doing nothing. Channel surfing. Watching TV, forcing myself to play a video game here and there. And then, you know, finally, I don't know, probably a couple months ago, I was just like, you know what? Seriously, like my wrist is healed now for the most part. And that's kind of an issue too. I'm not able to work out like I used to anymore because my wrist is just fucked. Like there's a bone shard in there. I used to, do a lot of heavy lifting. Like that was my thing. Like, you know, sit me, you know, like in my dining room, I have, you know, 500 pounds of weights. And, you know, I get in there and I lift heavy weight. I enjoy doing that. I've always enjoyed doing that since I was 12 years old. And, like, I throw up my warm-up set, which is, you know, bench press 135 pounds, you know, 50 times. That's my warm-up set. And as soon as I picked the bar off, I felt this pain in my wrist like my wrist was going to explode.
Ooh.
So I set the bar back down and I go, what the fuck? So I go to the doctors. I'm like, look, you said if something isn't right in here to let you know. And, you know, because what comp's supposed to cover all this, right? So I go into the doctor and doctor looks at me and he goes, yeah, you definitely, that shard is still there. It's not quite connected the way it's supposed to be. And the only way to fix this is to surgically remove it. And I'm like, okay, what's that mean? And they're like, well, realistically, it means another 6 weeks in a cast. And after sitting 6 weeks in a cast, trust me, the last thing you want to do is go another 6 weeks in a cast.
Right?
That shit sucks, man. So I'm like, okay, well, if, you know, that's legitimately what we have to do, then fine. And so they begin to go through the channels. And at the time I'm kind of thinking, do I want to do it? Don't I want to do it? You know, I don't want to get my hopes up too much, but I'm like, whatever. So we go through the proper channels and unfortunately, because my lifting capability does not affect my actual workload, insurance won't cover that surgery. It's an elective surgery.
Lame.
Yeah. So I can't do my lifting. And, you know, it's like, this is bullshit. Like, you know, I hurt myself at work and now the doctors from work are saying that they won't cover it because I can live a normal life. Like, don't get me wrong, dude. I can take a 100-pound bag of something, pick it up with my bad hand and throw it across the room. Not a problem. But when I get up around, you know, 135, 150, 200, then it becomes legitimately an issue. Here's the problem. How many people do you know who do anything that requires them to lift over 100 pounds? Pretty much nobody.
No.
So, you know, at that point, that's why it becomes an elective thing because I can still meet all requirements that any job out there would ever possibly make me do. So it's like, and the idea that I want to lift heavy weights, that the medical insurance has no care about that. So, you know, I still was basically stuck in the hole all winter long. It's just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. You know, I coach basketball. I would go put on the fake smile, you know, and I'd coach these kids up and tell them we're going to win and we're going to get them and all this other stuff. And I could give a fuck less, just being realistically honest, you know, and like these parents would come over and they would start complaining to me and like literally they'd be talking to me and I would be listening to what they said. And my face could give a fuck less. My brain could give a fuck less. But I'm sitting there in my brain going, what expression should my face be making right now? And it's like, should I smile here? And then I would smile. Should I frown here? Yes, I should frown. You know, and like I would have to tell myself this stuff because like I just detached myself from everything. And there was no feelings coming in, no feelings going out. It was just everything was fake. And eventually, you know, this spring comes along and I, you know, get the call to come back to work and I'm like, okay. And you know, I broke down to all the guys at work, you know, look, I know I wasn't me last year. I'm sorry. You know, this is what was going on. And like, I'm going to be real honest with you. You know, like I asked them flat out. I said, look, if I'm not in the right state of mind, and these guys like the bus balls. I mean, it's just, you get into a work situation where literally there's one female who works in the office all day long. And then there's 11 guys who, you know, are on the actual job sites. People are just going to bust each other's balls because this isn't like the, you know, the office environment. This is more the, you know, go fuck yourself environment, basically. And people just bust each other's balls. And I'm like, I need you guys to do me a favor this year. And I want you to tell me right now whether or not you can honor this request. Do not bust my balls this year. And they're like, why? And I explained everything to them. I said, listen, if I'm not in the right state of mind when you do that, I might not take it as you busting my balls. And then I'm in a horrible mood the rest of the day. I was like, and that's just going to push me further down into this hole, and I'm not going to be able to dig myself back out. And I've been back about a month now, and legitimately, like, you know, and I had my Myocope on the show, but legitimately the guys at work have been trying. They don't bust my balls until I start to do it, which I told them I wouldn't do it this year if I can help it, but you get around guys, you just do it, you know? Somebody says something stupid and you're just like, what? You know, like the other day, I think I told you this before the show, so it wouldn't be a repeat. But like the other day, a guy's like, you know, and he's an older man, you know, he's in his 50s. He grew up in the middle of the country and he had no fucking frame of reference at all that, you know, what he said was not something that you say. And he's just like, you know, I'm explaining him how do you do this certain thing on a baseball field? And he's like, so wait a cotton pick in a second. And I'm like, well, that's not racist. And he's like, what? And, you know, I have to explain to him, dude, that's racist. I've been saying that my whole life. That doesn't make it any less racist. I never thought it was racist. Think about it for a second. It's racist. And it's like, oh, goddamn. But, you know, like, these are the types of busting balls that happen, you know? And it's like, you know, like the one guy, because, like, say when if I shave my head, especially early in the year when I haven't gotten any sun yet, like, I shave my head because, you know, I don't wear my hair real long. I come in and I look like, especially because I get black lines under my eyes real bad. And I'll be like, dude, you look like Uncle Fester. And it's like, okay. I'm not going to argue with you, I suppose, right? But, you know, like, he would say something like that, and it's like, okay, cool, you know, whatever. But, you know, on the bad days, I'd take that and just be like, I fucking hate you. Say that again. I dare you. You know, and it just, it's so horrible. Like you said, if you haven't gone through this, you can't explain to somebody, because it's completely illogical. It makes no fucking sense whatsoever. It's like, why are you in a bad mood? I don't know.
This pisses me off about it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
That, and I think with people like me and you, that's the worst part. Because, yeah, you're a physicist. You're a high-minded individual. I've always considered you, since the day I met you, as a very intelligent person. And then when I found out that you actually had a degree in physics, I was kind of blown away by it. I was like, holy shit, he is smart. It wasn't just me thinking that. And, you know, like, I consider myself a highly intelligent person. Honk, honk, toot horn. And, you know, I try to base everything I do in a field of logic. I really do. Like, you know, it's like, I have the saying, you can't argue against logic. That's just a fact. Boom. Logic wins. I say the sky is green. Logic says it's blue. Fuck you. It's blue. Logic wins. You know? So, and it's just like, and I'm sitting there and it, and I'll feel like shit. And I'm going through my mind going, this is completely illogical. I don't understand this. Why is this happening? And that creates its own stress on top of the stress.
Yeah, and it's something that we haven't mentioned before, is you figure out that you're stressed out,
yeah,
or you figure out that you're depressed, and then you worry about that, which compresses it, and then that depresses you more, which compresses it, and you get worried about it's getting worse, and it never ends. Like, you have to, I still honestly have not figured out how it is that I've managed to, and listening to you, I feel like a bitch, because, like, your shit is way worse than mine. Mine is just, like, not being able to do the things I need to do, whereas yours is, like, an actual cyclical life problem. I'm just, this is a new thing for me.
Well, it happens to everybody for different reasons at different times.
Yeah, and it happens differently for everybody, like.
And it doesn't.
Like, I never once had any sort of, now, I've had lots of friends over the years who have had these problems. I've dated some cutters.
Awesome.
Wow.
Well, I know friends. Those are the good ones, because you can beat on them, and when the cops show up, they're just like, we don't know.
She clearly did it herself or not.
That's a joke.
That's a joke.
I don't want no hate mail.
I've encountered over the years, ever since that friend of mine freshman year, sophomore year of college, all different forms of people being depressed. And some people do the cutting thing, and some people just stay at home and disappear. Some people make attempts on their own life. And none of those things even entered my mind. Because no matter how depressed I am, I still have a massive ego.
Dude, so do I. My ego is, I don't want to say it's massive, but, like, you know, I still, like, look at myself as better than most people.
Wow.
Have you looked around, Chewy? I mean, really.
Yeah, 49%. But yeah, just because, you know, person A handles their depression this way and person B handles it this way, it's still, well, okay, I don't want to say it's the same thing because it's not necessarily the same thing, but it's not necessarily different either.
No, the fact that mine comes on one way and yours came on a different way, or, you know, subject C, who's not sitting here talking to us, came on a separate way, it doesn't make it any less different or any less important to be dealt with than, you know, the guy who had it a little worse initially, because once the initial thing is the bad thing, and then after that, you're, it doesn't matter who you are, you're in the same doldrums as somebody else who's suffering from it, and it doesn't matter how they got there.
Exactly.
You know, it really doesn't. It's a weird fucked up thing. It's not something that, you know, I wish anybody to deal with. Yeah, I deal with it, you know, it cycles with me. I know that now that, you know, there's a pattern, like I can clock it. And, you know, the first few times, like I said, I had a reason. So there was never a thought that, you know, maybe this is going to happen again in 10 to 12 years. And then it happened again. And it's like, what the fuck? Three times this has happened in the exact same amount of time. Like, this is a cycle. I have to prepare myself for this now. But, I mean, getting out of it is, how did you get out of it now that we've gone through, you know, the issues? How have you pulled yourself up out, you think?
Honestly, I'm not 100% out of it, of course.
Nobody is. I still have bad days. I mean,
exactly.
This is going to take a whole year for me to cycle completely through it. I know that.
But I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, it's just once I was aware, especially this last time, you know, over the end of last year, when I realized, holy shit, I've been depressed all this time, I just made a conscious effort. Like, now that I'm aware of it, I'm aware that there's a problem, I can start working my way around this problem. And it, some days it didn't work, and some days I would throw myself into work. Like, hang on, let me pull up my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So, I started getting, so my first Hearthstone video went up in February, middle of February. And I had a random card go up February 10th. So I had, right around there is when I started to really start to get my head above water, and I threw myself into this work, because the whole point of the Kickstarter was to make the merchandise and then try to turn content production into what I do.
Right.
And I, thus far, had not really been doing that.
Yeah, it was just kind of stealing everyone's money at that point.
What? Shut up.
Well, whether you was or not, I mean, I know that's how I would feel.
But I wasn't making any headway. Like, you can't just hit the ground running and look, now I'm on YouTube and making money. That's not how that shit works. Like, I have literally thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads for each audio episode. I get like hundreds, if I'm lucky, of hits for videos. You know, it's a completely different audience. So it's not like I can just pick up these numbers, drop them on YouTube and be like, yay, start paying me. That ain't how it works.
I know I'm not a video guy. Like, I don't watch a ton of YouTube videos, but like, I mean, and I've watched a few of yours. I won't stand here and say I watched them all, because that'd be a flat out lie. It's like, oh, Chewy has a new video up and I have 10 minutes free. Okay. So, you know, I might catch one a month.
Yeah, it's because they're completely different audiences.
Right.
Because listening to audio is very passive. You know, people do it while they're at work or while they're driving or whatever. That's one of the reasons that I don't overproduce my show. You know, because if I put hours and hours and hours or many hours into making one episode like super refined and well produced, then the amount of people that will notice as compared to one of my normal, all right, here's the usual things, bleep out any swear words, all right, good to go. The number of people that will notice and appreciate the difference is so low that it's not worth doing, because audio is very passive for most people. And so, yeah, that it's just a completely different audience. So it's not like I can just go, all right, I'll start making videos now and then I'll be making money. No, at this rate, I will make money at the current, if everything stays exactly flat the way it is right now, I'll make money on YouTube once in about 2 years. They'll be like, here's that $100, because YouTube won't pay you till you hit the $100 threshold. They're like, here's your $100. And I'll be like, woohoo, worth it. I mean, so I'm trying to take steps to grow.
How's you gonna buy a steak?
Exactly. So I'm trying to throw myself into work and just make sure that I have content going up and try to make up for those like 2 months when I just wasn't doing the fuck all.
Right, right.
And that actually has helped, just by occupying my mind with something I want to be doing. Like, I don't know when I turned the corner to where, oh god, I don't even want to start on editing this video, because I don't know. It's probably because as I got more and more familiar with the editing software and knowing how to do things, I spent less time sitting there staring at it going, I don't even fucking know. And then you get the confidence, like, well, now that I know how to do this and this, and then I get to the next video, I'm like, you know, it'd be really funny right here if I could make this do that, and then I'll dick with the software, and eventually I'll figure it out. I'm like, yes, and now I can do that in every video from now on. And everyone that I post is another learning experience. And
right. And every little learning experience, you get a little sense of pride, right?
Exactly.
It sounds so stupid, but I know what you mean, because, like, up until about episode 101, I never put a link into my show notes. You did it. If there was any links in there. And just like in the last 15 or 16, I started posting my own links to everything. And I'm like, this is so easy. Why wasn't I doing this before? This is amazing. This is cool. You know, I felt really good about that for a while. Now yeah. It's like, you know, an extra thing I have to do every show, but.
Yeah, but. You feel like in this Chewie's mom opens packs video.
That was amazing. Your mom is adorable.
Thank you. If I could ever get the old man and mom together in a video, you would see exactly where I come from, because I'm like this bizarre even mixture of the two of them. But in the Chewie's mom opens packs videos, like that's where I learned how to freeze the video and make the frozen frame stay on screen for a while.
Right.
And it was just a matter of, I didn't know what it was called. I didn't know how to look it up in the search. It was just a matter of dicking around until I found it. And so, you know, I've got the brief intro where mom is talking, and then I freeze it with her, you know, with a big grin on her face, looking down at this pack of cards she's opening, and it pops up the title screen, you know, Chewie's, and Clues goes, and now, Chewie's mom opens packs, and that stuff pops up on the screen. And the learning how to do, it's called extend frame. I didn't fucking know that. Learning how to do that, it was so simple. I just had to right click here instead of there, and it would be part of the menu. Well, I didn't fucking know that. But I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
That I actually used it again later in the video because I knew how to do it now. Like, yeah. And it's just that one little thing that I was so proud of. And no one's ever going to think anything of it. I was actually talking to my co-host, Mike. Last night, I put a lot of time and effort into the YouTube, thumbnails.
Uh-huh.
That no one thinks about. Like, on one, I put my own head inside, on top of a Hearthstone character who's wearing a hood. And so rather than just slap my head on there, I actually went through all the stuff to make it look like my head was actually under the hood. And that took me forever. Well, not forever now. I figured it out. But the first time I tried to do something like that, it took me forever.
Yeah.
But, And I can't, that's another problem I have, is I can't half-ass these things. So that's why I worked on that TMP News episode for so long, is because once I have a thought in my head, I have to get what's on the screen as close to that as I am capable of at this point in time.
And on top of all of that, once you learn something, you have to do it in future ones too all the time.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah,
because sometimes it's a time saver, like Truncate Silence. I used to do that shit manually for like plural years.
So did I for about 13 episodes, and then thankfully you explained to me, hey, you can hit this button. And I'm like, what? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because I did it for plural years manually. It took forever to get every episode out because I would run through it just – next paging through the waveform. That looks a little long, shortened page. Yeah. That looks a little, and it took forever. And now
2 hour episode takes 6 hours to edit. Yeah, I've been there.
And now I had last night we did an episode that was damn near 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it posted later that night. I was like, is there anything I need to cut? Nobody said fuck or goddamn or shit. Okay, good. Is there anything I need to change? No. Okay. Noise removal, level 8, truncate silence, music at the beginning, music at the end. Do a spot check. Okay, fine. Post. It went out to backers that night. It'll be live on themanipool.com, I think, early Saturday morning, Friday morning. I forget what day I scheduled it for, but whatever, you know.
No, I get it. Like, see, the show that I put up today, 2 hour show, roundabouts, and like I, you know, edited it, put in music in the front, music in the back, truncate silence, what you got to do, and then also inserted 2 commercials in the middle of the show.
Yep.
And that took me 20 minutes, where I literally can tell you 2 years ago that would have took me a day.
Yeah, like a full day.
Yeah.
Like not even fucking around.
Full day. Like I would have started Wednesday, I would have finished, you know, days upon days later. I know that episode 100 was the longest edit I've done since probably the first 30 episodes. Which, you know, that deserved, you know, a little bit of extra attention and extra care to it.
Yeah.
Because it was episode 100. That took me 7 hours, and I can think back to literally a 2 hour episode in the first 10 that I did that took 12.
Yeah.
And every one of those times, every little trick you learn, you feel a little bit better about it. Like, yeah.
And that has been something that has helped me pull out of it, like, Roskam, Jason Roskam, Mr. Roskam, sorry, from, Higher Standards.
Yeah.
He keeps pushing, he's like, you really need to exercise. He's like, it actually physically releases chemicals that will help your mental state. And I'm like, awesome! And I still don't do that, cause I'm a big lazy fat fuck. Like, I have no problem with how I am, how I physically am as a person. So exercise to me has always seemed like a waste of time. Now, that's me. Like, I'm happy with who I am. I could give a shit if you don't like me. Well, clearly you're not meant for me. And that's, you know, the way I always look at it when I would like go to work or something, I'm like, okay, I gotta remember I'm not trying to impress anybody because everyone there is either already impressed or they're not gonna be impressed.
Right.
And that's how I handle everything. Like, if I forget to run a brush through my hair one more time before I walk out the door, or, like, I glance in the rearview mirror as I'm driving, I'm like, whoops. Oh, well, fuck it. Who am I trying to impress?
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite guy. I am the guy who legitimately, me getting back to work and that physical exercise that I get at work has helped a lot.
And I'm sure it would. I haven't run out of things to keep driving myself forward to make me feel better the other way. Once that stops, I probably will like strap on the iPod and go walking around my neighborhood.
Yeah, but I'm also the guy who stands in front of a mirror and fat shames himself.
But you're so sexy.
Dude, I will literally, no, I'm not. Anyway, I will literally stand in front of my mirror and just be like,
couch buddy?
Fat fucking piece of shit. What is wrong with you? Fucking put down the Doritos. I mean, I will scream at myself in the mirror and like, you know, my wife probably thinks I'm insane, but we've been together long enough that if she hadn't figured it out by now, that's not my problem.
Nice.
That puts her in the other 49%. And I'll take it. She's not dumb. But, you know, regardless, like, I will do that. I will sit there in the mirror and, like, it depresses myself because, you know, at the same time, I'm trying to motivate myself, you know, but when you're already not in the right state of mind to begin with, and you're just in the mirror looking at yourself going, you're a fat fucking piece of shit. Look at all this weight you've gained. You're just like, ugh. So, you know, the exercise has helped me, and I think part of it is because I do fat shame myself. Which I, you know, look, when you're in the right state of mind, it's a great thing to do. Because it'll motivate you to, you know, get out and push some weights and do some other things and what have you. But yeah, like, I needed the exercise. The exercise helped me, that, and I think just time, you know, the old cliche saying, time heals everything. I mean, as long as I kept telling myself that this was a problem that was out of my control, and eventually it would, you know, work its way out. I just needed to do little things to pleasure myself. And I'm not talking about diddling myself. I did that the whole time.
Damn it. You
didn't
made
help
the joke.
At all.
You made the joke before I could get there. Damn it.
You know, that didn't help at all. Trust me. There was
it really doesn't, right? What
no.
is that about?
Spank fest all day long. And it just, you know, literally it would give you 2 seconds of ecstasy like it always does. And then you would be back to, well, I'm done. What am I going to do now? Yeah, and alcohol. You know what? I've cut back on my alcohol consumption. And a big reason for that was, you know what? Yes, alcohol is an escape. I'm not going to lie. Drugs, an escape. I'm not going to lie. The problem is those wear off and your problems come back. It's a glorious escape for a few hours. I'm not going to deny this one bit, but at the same time, it's not fixing anything.
Yeah, you're treating the symptom, not the disease.
Yeah, it's not fixing anything. So, like, I've really cut back on my alcohol consumption because I need to get these problems fixed. I don't need, you know, to just push them off for later because with me, that's how the shit starts.
Exactly. And you brought up a good point of, as long as you think that it's not in your control and well, it'll pass, then you're not only not helping get over it, you're making it worse by just passively letting this shit happen to you or in you or
yeah,
whatever.
But I still think that it's good to have that knowledge in your head and remind yourself of that. But at the same time, you can't just sit there and wait for it.
That's what I mean, yeah.
You have to go do something.
If you think that, well, I'll just let it pass, then it's just gonna get worse, and as long as you have that it'll pass mindset, then it never will, because that's not what it does. It grows and gets worse, and then you drown, and you don't realize you're drowning, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you have to actively go, alright, I have to do little things to make myself happy, like this winter. At one point, it was about a month before I went back to work, 1 a.m, I up and went, I'm going to go buy Dragon Ball Z, the new video game that came out. It like came out that week. I was like, I'm going to go buy this fucking game and I'm going to play it. So I drive up to Walmart. It's like 1:30 when I get in there and I'm buying this game for me because I'm going to go home and I'm going to play this game.
Hell yeah.
And this game's going to bring me some joy. And it did. Not going to lie, it really did. I've beaten it since then, and now it's kind of lame, but...
Have you played the new one, Xenoverse?
That's the one I'm talking about.
That just came out, though. Like last month.
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said, like, oh, the winter did just end, didn't it? Oh, my God. Jesus. I'll be all right.
I'm a little further north, so our winter lasts a little bit longer. Like, it snowed a little bit today.
No, but I mean, when you say winter, my brain thinks, like, oh, 3-4 months ago. No, stupid. Winter just ended.
Yeah, like a month ago.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be all right. Sorry.
Yeah, so, like, I went and I got Xenoverse for myself, and, dude, like, legitimately, it's a good game. It really is.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It helped me, you know, get through that time where it was like, okay, I found something new. I wasn't retrying to play old games that brought me joy before, but I've seen everything in. It was something new. It was, you know, new stimulation, and I'm like, cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've played through the whole thing at this point, and it's not a bad game. You know, when I say it's kind of lame, it's just kind of lame in the fact that I know what happens and I'm not an online player. So
yeah.
I can't replay the same story a billion times without me, you know, without it becoming
Final Fantasy game.
Right? Well, Final Fantasy, I'm still trying to do things. If I pick up Final Fantasy IV, I'll be like, okay, the last time I beat this game on level 99 in 55 hours, I want to beat that.
Nice.
You know, like, I challenge myself. So those are a little different, but
you're talking about, like, the escape. That, let's put it in Final Fantasy terms for all the people that are still listening. So let's say your depression is like someone casting poison, right? You've been poisoned.
Yeah.
And your life keeps ticking down.
Or petrify. You have 10 seconds.
No. Your life keeps ticking down. Mm-hmm. And so that's your depression. Like, your depression is slowly killing you. And you do the escape thing, and you think, well, I'll just keep drinking and it'll be better. But that's just like
escaping
taking a potion
from the fight and walking. And
yeah, it's just like taking a potion. It's exactly. It's like taking a potion to pull your life points back up that are still going to drain out instead of taking the damn
antidote.
The antidote, which will actually cure the poison. Like, that's. To put that in video game terms, you're just replenishing your HP that will then drain again instead of killing the actual problem.
Right.
And that's what I mean. You're treating the symptom, not the disease. And he's right. You know, escape is, I mean, I've never been addicted to anything but caffeine and I guess masturbation. Like, it's, that didn't even count, I don't think. But,
you're
so
a man.
I can't talk. Okay, well, there is that. So it's just caffeine, and like, my drug of choice is caffeine, and as my friend Mike puts it, he's like, my brain manufactures its own drugs. And he's right, like, people that don't know that I don't do any sort of drug or alcohol think that I am a stoner sometimes, because I'm fucked up, dude. Like, I'm a strange guy.
You're a little different.
But I can't speak to the escape that way, but I also understand that not everyone has. I have my own reasons for not doing the drugs and alcohol thing that are completely unrelated to depression, so whatever.
Yeah,
understand that it does help in the short term, but it won't stop the problem.
Right.
And too many people fall into the, well, I'll just stay drunk, and that fucks up your life probably worse than the depression does.
Then they come up with another problem. They, on top of the fact that they never cured their depression, now they're a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
And that's not good either. So if I had to, you know, recommend it, like, if you do find yourself in this situation, and like, me and Chewy are pulling ourselves out of this, and I know this show has gone long for an imp's prison, but I feel like the content we're putting out there might help somebody. So it's okay.
This is actually important.
Yeah. And I got reached out to when I came public with everything by a ton of people who also suffer from it. And I know you did as well.
Yeah.
And you know, like, obviously there are other people out there suffering with this, and they may need this. And you may know somebody who's in this who doesn't realize they're in it. And you know what? You can listen to what we say, and then you can go, hey, you. I listen to these two guys talk about this. You have an issue that you don't even realize you have, because you know what? The first 3-4 months of this, you never notice you have it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
just feel like you fell into a slump.
Yeah, like, well, I'll get over it. It'll pass.
Right. And you know what? You know, you can be the friend who goes, no, dude, there's something actually wrong with you. So I'm okay with going a little long with this one, but
yeah. The whole point is, one of the problems with depression is that you feel just alone. And like Angelo said, he didn't want to bother his friends, and I would always put on like, everything's fine. And I wasn't, like, at the time, I wasn't putting on everything was fine consciously. It's just how I am when there are people around. So that, like, I think I'm depressed. Only a very few of my friends were like, I had a feeling, and I was like, Well, you did?
it could look this bad, okay? When you say I didn't want to talk about it. Here's one of the reasons I did not want to talk about it at the time. Because, you know, I do know that talking to your friends, you know, can help. But, okay, and I don't know. Again, this comes back to me with the stone thing and, you know, I'll put the problems off. Okay, my friend Chewy here was already dealing with this. And, you know, I didn't want to look like, okay, you know, I'm coming in, you know, and kind of saying the same things Chewy's saying, because that, you know, people would just think I'm just trying to jump on his bandwagon. And that had nothing to do with it. And I doubt Chewy would have gave a fuck if there was an actual problem, right? And then on top of that, like when I hit my low, Robin Williams, like the week before I, you know, had my issue thing that I did, he killed himself. So I'm like, I'm not bringing that up now. People were going to think that, you know, I'm just looking for attention because Robin Williams did that.
Yeah, and chances are, of course, there's always going to be people who are like, well, you're just trying to get attention. And that's because lots of people who claim to be depressed and like and people who do the cutting thing and all that, some of them just are trying to get attention, but not all of them. Not even close.
Right.
So, but there's always going to be someone who's going to say, well, you're just trying to get attention. But your actual, like, friends and fans, and that's not you specifically, but your actual friends and whatnot will understand.
Yeah, they will, but you know,
there's
you're in
no,
a spot where you can't tell yourself
that. Yeah, and you don't know
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't tell yourself that. I'm almost like, I can't put this out there now. I'm going to have to just sit on this for a while. Like, I just can't put this out there now. People are just going to think this, and people are going to think that. And, you know, it's stupid fucking reasons. So I made myself suffer. Maybe longer than I had to because I was worried about the backlash. I was worried about, you know, the simple, stupid things that it literally had nothing to do with it. Cause in the end, like talking to somebody is realistically one of the best things you can do is just letting somebody else know, hey, I'm in a spot here because I know when I finally told the guys at work, like I was crying in front of these guys at work. And again, Angelo, tough guy, does not cry. But I did. And that was only about a month ago. And now I've talked enough about this to enough people about this, enough different people that I actually feel comfortable talking to you about this without it bringing me down anymore. So there is a healing function to this. But again, we have gone really long, but I think this was important. Chewy, thank you for coming on. One last time, if you want to give people contact information, please do.
Yeah, and then, again, you guys, you're not alone. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
No matter how you might think, you're not. And if you need to get, or you want to get in touch with me, I don't know how much help I can be. I to be perfectly honest, I'm not going to profess that, oh yeah, I've been through this. I can help you. I don't know if I can, but I'm perfectly willing to listen. And you can find me on Twitter at the Manipool. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's Chewie, at mtgcast.com. And if you just want like a voice in the background, and this sounds kind of weird, but, if you just want to feel like, you know, you're sitting around with friends, then listen to your favorite podcasts. Like listen to Pit Imps or the old episodes of Imps Prison. Or if you're a Manipool fan, listen to us, because that when you listen to a show long enough, you feel like you know all the people there and you feel like you're friends. Like that's why it trips me out, because when I used to listen to podcasts a lot, I really did feel like I knew these people.
Yeah.
That's why, I totally zoned out on. So yeah, I used to listen to a podcast called The Retro League. It was they're still going. It's an old video game podcast where they talk about retro video games, and I listened to them just nonstop. And when one of the guys was a Manipool listener, he asked me to come on, and he and I just had the best time because we each felt like we knew each other, and I felt like I knew his co-hosts, and they were like, okay. So, like, if you're not gonna talk to anybody, don't just sit alone in the silence. You know, grab an old episode that you really love and listen to it, and just let that happen. Something. I'm trying to be deep here, and I'm failing. But
okay, let me expound on it. I know that in my personal podcast listing, I have a few comedy podcasts on there. Why? Because a chuckle will always help.
That's true.
You know, you can be in a bad mood, you can be having a bad day, and then you're listening to this podcast, and whether it's Chewy saying something stupid, whether, you know, it's him telling Jack to shut up on an old episode, whether it's, you know, Clues going, what, huh, what, I'm going to go on a tangent. Any of those things that just make you chuckle, You know, whether it's me and Will in a conversation or, you know, again, any of the comedy podcasts out there, you know, I personally like Bill Burr's, you know, the dude makes me chuckle. And you know what? I can be in a bad mood, but if I'm sitting there chuckling, obviously I'm not in a bad mood, even though I feel like I'm in one. It's always going to help just to hear somebody else. So, you know, I agree with what Chewy said.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chewy.
Find something that gives you pleasure and do it.
Yes. And Manipul.
Yeah, and you can find all of my shows on themanipul.com. Yeah.
If you wanted to get a hold of me, you could get a hold of me at GongSuo on Twitter. That's GANGASUOU. And trust me, if you need to talk in private, send me a message saying, hey, follow me, and I will listen to your private message. Trust me. I'll try to help. I don't know that I can, but I will try, just the same as Chewy will. And also, you can hit me up at pitimpodcast@gmail.com if you have something a little long form, or, you know, you just want to do it there. Also, there's this amazing Pit Imps Facebook group that you might want to check out if you're into Magic the Gathering. We have a crazy group of people there who talk about very, very random things. And very That's random. True. Very random. Like bacon pictures and then magic and then other, it's weird. Anyway, they're all good people and they'll have your back as well. And you can also find me, on the Pit Imps podcast each and every week on the wonderful MTG Cast Network with the beautiful layout.
Shut up, Angelo. kindly snack on my penis.
I just go to the search thing and I just type in what I want. But yeah, so until the next time I get a chance to sit down with somebody, Chewy, I want to thank you again for coming on and, you know, putting out some fairly personal stuff. And, you know,
this is way deeper than I've gone on this on my own shows. So
yeah, we hope we help somebody for sure. I know I got pretty deep as well. Chewy did. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us. At the same time, if you feel that you're in a really bad spot, please get a hold of the suicide hotline. Like that's not a joke. If you get to where you're at that point, call somebody. But until the next time I come on, thank you all for listening, and I will see you in a couple weeks.